Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're going to begin the show today. Our first topic has to do with clean water. You know, I think we all love clean water, but how much are you and I willing to spend on the cleanup of our waterways? We'll deal with that in just a couple of minutes. First, I want to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Your gift makes a huge difference, because listeners are the largest source of funding for our shows. So I hope you'll step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And if my voice isn't enough, I have the melodious voice of Keely Baltina, who is, she's the associate director of WPR, one of my many bosses. She's coming in here to check to make sure that I do everything I'm supposed to do. And we want to talk about member drives.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll take a compliment from you, Larry, anytime. But yes, the member drive is our focus. It's the spring member drive. It is an important time to make sure that the funding is in place for the information and the news that you rely on here at WPR. Your gift funds the Larry Mueller Show. It funds all of the other WPR shows that you value. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So what does public radio really mean? Public radio means listener-supported radio.
And we do appreciate all of the funding streams. Listener support, though, is the largest source of funding for WPR. Your contribution of any amount really matters. Now is the time to give at WPR.org, or the number is 888-202-2552.
WPR is personally important to you, I'm betting, and it's probably also important to you that everyone in the state has access to high-quality information and entertainment.
It really does take a village. Become a member, maybe with that contribution of like $10 a month. That's $120. And you're not only doing something good for yourself, but you are doing something good for the entire community. WPR is listener supported. That's why your participation as a listener, so important. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think it's a great business model in that it operates using donations from people and donations from corporations. It works. I'm happy to donate because I think it's so important. And I'm happy to donate more because I know there's some people out there that can't. It's just great company in the house. I'm Mary from Menominee, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for everyday listening.
Mary, thank you very much. Give at WPR.org. Join Mary. Or maybe phone 888-202-2552. During our spring member drive, Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, has an important impact.
And let's be honest, this is Wednesday. Life is busy, things are hard, but you know what? Giving to WPR is easy, and that's intentional. It just takes a few minutes of your time and your choice, a gift of any amount, say that $10 a month.
That donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
Okay, so you've made the decision that you're ready to give. You might be wondering, well, how much should I give? The answer is really up to you. Your contribution of any amount gets turned into programs that keep you and your whole community informed and entertained all year long.
Just important to make your gift and do it now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
And you can show the entire community that you support WPR, because this spring drive, we have a new WPR t-shirt. It is for the special amount of $15 a month today only. Tomorrow that goes up. It's a really cool design. It's got a dairy cow, a badger, a honeybee, a muskie. It's just very, very Wisconsin. and it's soft too. So, you know, like sometimes you get those t-shirts that are just kind of itchy. That's not what you're getting when it comes to the new WPR t-shirt. It's really great. Today, the t-shirt's yours for a gift of $15 a month or more. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Would you say it was peach colored and then with the lavender?
Maybe like a light tan, perhaps.
Light tan
sand.
Is what you're saying?
Maybe it's a sand color.
Sand. Oh, uh-huh. Okay. Well, sand. But it's kind of, in my view, a peach-colored sand.
It's very cool. What I love is that if you had a WPR t-shirt before, this one looks different. There's always an amazing
always
design.
Different.
You want the newest one, let me tell you. You do want it.
And you also want to become a sustaining member, perhaps. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. I think all of my friends do that. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Diane in Appleton says, my life would be less interesting and I would be less informed without WPR. Oh, Diane, I totally agree. And thank you so much for your support.
Join Diane with your gift right now. Very powerful. Really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. And we're going to turn our attention to clean water. You know, we as a public value clean water in our lakes and streams, I think above almost every other environmental concern we have. And less certain is how much people are willing to spend on the cleanup of the waterways. Larry Mueller here, of course, and we're talking today with Daniel Faneff. Daniel is a UW-Madison environmental economist. He's done a lot of research into how we value our natural resources. So as we talk with Dan, I hope you'll join in. What do you think? Should more or less be spent on improving water quality for wildlife habitat and maybe for human recreation? You can join the conversation. Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. Dan Faneff, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
There's some surveys out there. How does water quality rank as an environmental issue that concerns Americans?
Yeah, you know, it usually ranks quite high. So, you know, recurring surveys ask people about their attitudes. And oftentimes, in fact, usually, clean water is among the highest ranking, both in terms of quality of drinking water and quality of surface water.
Yeah. Let's talk about pollution for a minute. How polluted, and let's talk our rivers and our streams and lakes and countrywide.
Mm-hmm. Right. So periodically, EPA, US EPA, does an assessment of the nation's waterways. Most recently in 2022, they did something called the National Lakes Assessment. And they found that about 50% of the lakes in the country are impaired. That's to say that they don't support some of the uses that they're supposed to support because of things like phosphorus pollution, nutrient pollution, things that come from nutrients such as algal blooms, things like that. So, you know, we have made progress since the early 70s when rivers would sometimes catch on fire, but we have a long ways to go. There's still quite a few problems.
Yeah, you know, one of the acts that Congress passed, in my mind, was one of the most substantial acts, was the, 1972, the Clean Water Act. And since then, the federal government has distributed nearly $1 trillion in grants to clean up local waterways. Has that level of spending met the need for cleanup?
Well, it depends on if you ask if the glass is half empty or half full. So that is a tremendous amount of spending, and almost all of that effort has gone towards what we call point sources. So things like wastewater treatment plants and maybe in industrial sources. And in fact, we have done quite a good job of reducing pollution from those traditional sources. But we've not done such a great job of reducing pollution from what we call non-point sources. So yeah. These are things like agriculture and paved areas, urban runoff, those types of things. And so most of the problems that we see in the country today are a result of these non-point sources of pollution.
I'm wondering, how expensive is it to, let's say, clean up a stream?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to depend on the type of policy that we use and the source of the emissions. So, you know, it's cost a lot to put in treatment technologies for municipal wastewater, for example. That's mainly what the Clean Water Act focused on. And I think there was a quote in something I wrote that we've spent something like $100 per person per year since passing the Clean Water Act on trying to clean up these point sources. You know, less is known about how much it would cost to clean up through point sources, simply because we don't have a lot of policies that address those things. They're mainly voluntary and so on. So it's difficult to say what those costs would be from other sources.
Yeah, and maybe you could talk a bit more about clean water. I mean, you mentioned it and so forth, but is it for people to recreate on, or maybe as a habitat for a diversity of animals and plants?
Sure. So I think it's kind of all of the above. So when the original Clean Water Act was passed in 1972, a lot of emphasis was put on recreation. So the idea was to focus on cleaning up surface waters and allow them to be suitable for recreation use, for fishing. And so a lot of times we'll measure the quality of a stream by if it's fishable or not. And so certainly recreation is a main service, a main thing that people care about, but it's not the only thing, right? So people care about a lot of different things. They might care about aesthetics. So, you know, how does the lake look in front of their house? They may also care generally about the ecological conditions of waterways. Is it supporting an abundance of native species? They may care about if there's invasive species or not. And so I think it's useful to think holistically about the different ways that people might care about water quality, surface water quality, and hence what they might be willing to pay to have those things.
Yeah, it's tough. How do we assign a value to a clean lake or river?
Yeah, that's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're not used to thinking of environmental resources like we are market goods, right? So if you go to the store and buy a six-pack of beer, you know, you're paying a price for it, and presumably you value it more than that price or you wouldn't buy it. And so it's easy for us to think about how much we're willing to pay for market goods. It's harder for environmental goods, but the concept is the same. So when I buy a bottle of wine, I've told the world that it's worth at least $10 to me if that's what the price was. If we could go to the store and buy water quality for Lake Mendota here out in front of the university, we'd be able to tell the world that we value it at that much. But no market exists. And so we need to figure out ways to infer what people would be willing to pay for things like cleaner surface waters, even though they never go to the store to buy it.
Yeah, although we do go to the store to buy water and a lot
well,
of
we,
it.
We go to the store to buy drinking water, but we don't go to the store to buy water for recreation or what have you.
You're absolutely right about that. Daniel Fedef, our guest today, environmental economist. Great talking with him today about clean water. And we're going to take a look at the research that he has done to sort of maybe kind of put a price tag on the value of it from public's point of view. Great to have him with us, and great to have you listening in here during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. And Kaylee Baltina is joining me now. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs you enjoy on WPR. In fact, listener support, as we've said many times, it's the largest support of our funding for our shows. And this drive is your time to take some action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, your gift during this spring member drive is so important because it directly supports your daily listening, the trustworthy reporting, these thought-provoking conversations that you come here for. They're available thanks to you. So choose an amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're like most people, I'm betting that you are also concerned about water quality. And Dan Phaneff has done some really interesting research on this that we're going to be covering in more detail as we move along today. And think about it. How is your life enriched by this kind of conversation? How unique is it to public radio? Here we are, listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a couple of minutes, and make your gift.
You know, more than 26,000 WPR members are proud sustainers. Thank you so much. What that means is that they are making ongoing monthly gifts to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you, too, can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about by becoming a sustainer right now. Choose an amount, say 10 or 20 bucks a month. Set it up to be ongoing, easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's the first day of our spring member drive, and we have an exciting offer for you. Support the WPR programs you count on and ask for your 2025 WPR t-shirt when you give $15 a month.
What? $15 a month?
Yep, this special donation amount is available today only. Tomorrow it goes up. Ask for your soft and stylish new WPR t-shirt today. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Your support during the drive makes the news, the conversations like this one, the music you enjoy as well, it makes it all possible. And your gift, 10, 20 bucks a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You know, this programming is not a given. The people of Wisconsin have access to these sorts of meaningful conversations like this one on water quality because tens of thousands of individuals and households choose to support WPR.
And WPR works on the honor system. So you can join this team effort with your gift right now, $10 a month. You decide the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I love some merch. I get to talk about the merch now because it's a special day at WPR. It's the first day of our spring member drive, and it is the only day that we're offering a discounted WPR t-shirt. Talked a little bit about this earlier and the design, and I have an update. Larry, we were talking about the color of the t-shirt.
Yes.
And we had kind of set a little bit on sand. We want to clarify the actual technical name of the color of the t-shirt is champagne.
Champagne.
Very fancy. So this is the opportunity for you to get your champagne t-shirt that screams Wisconsin Public Radio. You can support the programs you value and get this special deal on that soft and stylish t-shirt. Ask for it when you give $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And just a heads up, tomorrow the donation amount does go up to get that t-shirt.
Kind of like the idea of champagne. You know, we're celebrating Wisconsin Public Radio right now, I think, and asking for listener support. And we should have a bottle to pop open here during this. Keely and I will be back in an hour or two. Oh, man, if you're a sustaining member, I want to thank you so much for that. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR and maybe add $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I want to thank Mary in Mount Horeb for Mary's support. Mary says, listening to WPR enriches my life. I learned so much about living a better and fulfilling life. Thank you so much, Mary.
Yeah, well, join Mary with your gift right now. Very powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Taking a look at water quality on the program right now with Daniel Faneff, an environmental economist and professor of ag and life science, ag and applied economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. Great to have Dan with us today. He's doing some really cool research, I think, on assigning a value to clean lakes and clean rivers. You know, Dan, as I think about it, there's some danger, is there not, in putting a price tag on a natural resource?
I mean, there's perhaps upsides and downsides. I mean, the way that I think about it is that if we lived in a world where we had everything that we wanted, where there was no scarcity, as economists say, then it'd be fine to conclude that environmental resources, water quality, are priceless, right? That we shouldn't try to value them. But the world we live in is one of scarcity, where it's hard to have everything we want. And we rightfully have debates about how much we should spend on environmental quality. And when we have those debates, we often hear most about the cost, right? So if we put some policy in place, it's going to cost so many jobs, or we'll lose so much in profits, or consumer prices will be higher. We very rarely hear much about what we're getting in return, other than often abstract notions of protecting the environment being the right thing to do, or qualitative statements. And so folks like me make the point that if you're going to have this debate and we're going to talk about the costs of these policies, we really ought to be considering the benefits of these policies on an equal footing and thinking hard about what type of value gets delivered from environmental resources using a metric that can be paired with the costs.
Yeah.
And so I think it's not really a luxury that we have to simply say things are priceless. Good policy requires that we consider trade-offs.
You know, I haven't given the number in a bit. I should do it right now. If you have a question or comment, or maybe you want to weigh in on water and water quality and have some thoughts about it, I hope you'll join us. The number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. And I think the consequences, Dan, of undervaluing nature can be severe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I would argue that those risks are larger than trying to value it, because if we don't try to value nature, then it implicitly gets a zero value. And so anytime there are costs, immediately it doesn't look like a very good decision. And so I think looking to put a value on the environment from improvements in resources adds a bit of discipline to the decision making and makes us realize that we are getting something for this and we should ask if it's worth it.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, let's talk about demonstrating value for a bit here. How do people demonstrate how much they love or value natural areas, including lakes and streams?
Yeah, great question. And that really speaks to a big part of what I do in my research life. So, you know, we're interested in estimating what people would pay to have a better environmental outcome. And we usually think of there as being two ways to do that. In the first way, we try to infer it based on people's behavior. And a good example is outdoor recreation. So our recreation choices are one of the main ways that we interact with environmental resources. And so we'll try to look at data on where people go for recreation, so which lakes they go to, and compare that with how far they're willing to travel for that purpose. And the idea being that travel is not free. You have to put gas in your car. And if we observe you driving past a dirty lake and traveling further to get to a clean lake, you've just told us that you're willing to pay something for that cleaner water quality. And we can compute that by looking at how much further you would be willing to drive if you had that choice.
That's a good example, I think. I was thinking about when I was a kid, we used to drive. We had one lake that was within 5 miles, but Mom and Dad would take us to a lake that was about 20 miles away because it was a cleaner lake.
Yeah, you bet. And I grew up on a lake in Minnesota that didn't have walleye, and so we would pack up the car and drive 3 hours north to fish a walleye lake. So it's not a clean water example, but we certainly were willing to drive further in order to get the characteristics that we want. And so this that I described is called the travel cost model, and it's ubiquitous in the kind of stuff I do, and does a very nice job of helping us understand trade-offs between how far people are willing to drive and the water quality levels at the places that they have available to them.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the focus, I think, has been on people who hunt and fish. Mm-hmm. And so we traditionally have left out birders and hikers and bikers.
Yeah, we have. So good insight. So when these ideas that I'm referring to kind of started coming of age, it was very much about studying the choices of anglers and hunters and the like. And then, you know, we started realizing that there's lots of other ways to use nature. And so we started trying to study hikers, kayakers, canoers, bird watchers, as you say, and realized that all of these types of recreation experiences are affected by the environment, and hence all of them can generate value from a better environment. And so we've tried to cast a wider net now in terms of the types of activities that we study.
Yeah, well, it makes a lot of sense. What do we learn when we survey people about how they enjoy nature typically? And the surveys, as you say, are falling short.
Right. So I've been referring to this method of kind of inferring value from seeing where people go for recreation. The way we get that data is typically by surveying people. So we'll ask them in a survey to report how many trips they made to various lakes around their home. When we do that kind of work, about 2/3 of people typically will report in any given year that they've made a trip to a lake or a river, something like that. And so, excuse me, a lot of people are using these resources. That's one thing that we find. We also find that a small number of people are using them a lot. So many, many, many trips, dozens of trips in a year. Well, the typical person is taking maybe 2 or 3, 4 recreation trips to lakes in a year. And so we sort of have two types of people, the super users and then everyone else. But they're all to some extent benefiting from the environmental conditions at the lakes. So that's a typical finding. We always find that, you know, all else equal, people would like to drive a shorter distance to get to a lake. But as I said earlier, they're certainly willing to drive further if that means that they can have better water quality. So that's a pretty robust finding that we have.
Yeah, but they still fall a little bit short.
Indeed, and that's why we use a second method. So the second method is a peer survey method. So we're not asking people, you know, where they went for recreation. Instead, we're setting up a survey where we place people in a situation where they're participating in a simulated referendum. So we're familiar with referenda. We vote on you know, school spending, other local public finance topics. And so what we'll often do in environmental economics is set up surveys where we present people with a hypothetical but feasible environmental policy that would, say, target a local resource, perhaps the frequency of harmful algal blooms, say, in Lake Mendota, where I am here in Madison. And we would ask them if they would vote in a favor of a policy that would do that if it meant that their taxes or fees would go up. And so very much like you're familiar with voting in a school board election, sure, or a school board referendum. And by doing this, we can get a sense of the fraction of people that would vote in favor of a policy that would improve the outcome and see how much they're willing to pay. How high could the additional fee be before people start saying, no, I'm not interested? And so, Larry, this gives us a sense of the more holistic willingness to pay, because if you're voting yes on this, it could be for any number of reasons, right? It could be because you care about recreation. It could be because you simply care about ecosystems. It's up to you. And your yes vote suggests that it matters for some reason.
And so you've done some of this.
I have.
Yeah. What kinds of results are you getting from this?
Right. So a recent study we did looked at different levels of ecological health in waterways. And in the survey, we defined six levels of ecological health, which range from a totally natural state to a totally disturbed state. And we presented these ideas to people and gave them information on what their baseline level is in watersheds near their house. So for example, around Madison, Wisconsin, the average ecological condition of our waterways is many changes noticeable. So we have, you know, some degradation, we have some invasive species, smaller abundance of native species, and so on. And so then we would ask people if they would vote in favor of policies that would, for example, increase the level up to one. So in Madison, it might be going from many changes noticeable to merely some changes noticeable. And when we do that type of thing, we find that on average, households would be willing to pay about $300 a year for 5 years to secure this improvement. Now, that's over a fairly large area. So this would be, for example, for most of south central Wisconsin and north central Illinois. When we look at a smaller area like a county, we end up with about $150 per year for 5 years. So reasonable, but not trivial in terms of what people would pay to have this kind of holistic improvement in water quality outcomes.
Yeah, but if we could actually pass a referendum like that, it'd be quite a bit of money.
Yeah, and the way that we phrase these in the survey is they're effectively advisory, right?
Yeah.
So what might a local official do with this? Well, it's a little bit like if you're a startup company and you'd like to know what the potential demand for your product is. You go out and you try to learn that, and if it looks like there's a lot of demand for the product, you would go ahead and launch. The analogy here is, if research like this is showing that there's a lot of demand among the local population for better water quality, perhaps the local officials should be entrepreneurial and seek out ways to provide that for their constituencies.
Yeah.
Their constituents.
Daniel Faneff, our guest today, environmental economist, professor of ag and applied economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison, our guest as we talk about his work on trying to put a value, figure out what people would value or how they value clean water. And talking clean water with him, and you can join in too, number to call, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Larry Mueller here during our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Keely Baltina joining me now for a minute or two here. And tell you what, listeners, that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy. So please give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
Yeah, get in on offering your support on this first day of our spring member drive. WPR is listener powered, and that means that your support makes the WPR conversations like this one, the news that we hear, the analysis, and, you know, that weekend fun available. And it's not just for yourself, but it is for your entire community. Thank you for making WPR's public service mission possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a pretty sharp focus on the Larry Mueller Show. We focus on how to make your life better every day. We have practical advice, topics that affect your community, our entire state, like the one we're talking about today. With water. We talk about Wisconsin wildlife, interesting things going on at the university and the state. We talk health quite a bit, consumer protection, even sports.
Public radio is for everyone. I mean, this conversation about clean water, it makes a difference in every single life here in Wisconsin. And you make this show possible when you join the conversation and when you give your financial support. Your gift at WPR.org, or if you use the number, it's 888-202-2552. It keeps interesting conversations available to everybody.
Think about what you spend money on every day. Is it coffee? Is it takeout? It all adds up. It's easy to spend on things that are part of your routine.
WPR is part of your routine, too. It is your conversation starter. It is the place where you come to learn or be surprised or think a little bit differently or feel seen. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. $30 a month, right? Give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I started donating quite a few years ago. I took the plunge. It was the first thing that I had ever done with the sustaining type of membership. It was painless, and so I've just continued. I trust Wisconsin Public Radio. I also trust them to use my money wisely. I'm Bea Liebel from Merrill, Wisconsin. I encourage you to join me in sustaining Wisconsin Public Radio.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donations during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Keely Baltina. Join with your gift right now because WPR's service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
If you have never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, we are especially talking to you this drive. Don't look around. We're talking to you. We have other ways of contacting our existing members, but the best way to get a hold of you, the listener who hasn't given just quite yet, is through drives just like this one.
And if you've been listening for just weeks or maybe months or years and and more than years, decades, and haven't donated before, make today the day you become a WPR member. You'll feel great when you support the station you rely on, and our WPR programs benefit from your contribution. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
It is more than enough to know that you make all of these programs possible with your donation. To sweeten the deal, though, we do have a special WPR t-shirt offer. It is just today at this donation level. So you can get the latest WPR t-shirt for a special amount of $15 a month. That is today. Tomorrow, that is a higher donation to get the shirt. It's soft. It's stylish. I mean, to say it is Wisconsin is such an understatement. It is a champagne color, a really lovely light color. It's got lavender and orange and green accents, and it's got so many Wisconsin state symbols right out front telling people that you love Wisconsin Public Radio. So now is the time to get that at a deal. That t-shirt is yours for a gift of $15 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And here's another thing to add, Keely. You could become a sustaining member at that $15
yeah.
a month. Why
yep.
not? You could become a sustaining member. Easy to set up, convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can just do that now. Get started at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I'm going to slip in this little comment, Larry. Pat in Madison says, there are so many quality programs, but I especially like Larry Mueller.
Oh, Pat, thank you. Thank you very much. We have a lot of fun on this show. Join with your gift right now. It's powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. We're taking a look at the cost of clean water today, and Daniel Faneff, our guest, is an environmental economist and professor of Ag and Life Applied Economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. He's done a lot of research on this. We were having some troubles with our phones, but we've got that resolved, and now, of course, all our lines are filled. Karen in Middleton will give you a chance to join in. Hi, Karen.
Hi there. Thanks for the program. I am a open water swimmer years and years and years in Lake Michigan, moved to Madison a couple of years ago and was very disappointed to find out I couldn't swim in these lakes because of the algae blooms. And so that travel cost, I go back to the Chicago area or go back to Lake Michigan just so I can swim. But hearing about this referendum, I'm curious, have we had a referendum to support clean lakes, or is that something they're speaking of doing?
Daniel?
Yeah, thanks for the example. That really helps illustrate these ideas. Yeah, let me be clear. So this is a survey that my research team fielded, where we presented survey takers with a simulated referendum. So this is not something that has happened for real. It's a tool that we use to see what people would be willing to pay for environmental improvements. The hope is that what we find is advisory, and it might convince local authorities to consider such a thing, or perhaps federal authorities to consider improvements. So it's an information generating survey tool rather than an actual referendum.
Do you think there'd ever be a referendum like this, Dan?
Yeah, there often has been. So one thing that we have seen quite a few times is local referendums on preserving open space. So a county, for example, will ask its populace to vote on acquiring some area of undeveloped land. And if it's voted yes, then the county will spend its tax money to purchase the land and preserve it. And so those types of things are quite common, in fact, and they often do pass. And so we have precedent for this type of local referendum, at least.
Karen, thanks again. Marilyn in Verona will give you a chance. Hi, Marilyn.
Larry, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
I want to thank you for your broad-ranging subject matter.
Thank you.
My son has had about a decade-long affiliation with the Stanford Natural Capital Project, and he does stuff that I don't understand what he's doing, quite honestly, but it sounds like it's similar in that it assigns a monetary value to the natural resources, clean water and clean air, to land when it's developed for real estate or to businesses. And I wonder if your guest knows much about that and can maybe talk a little bit to that point of natural capital value. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Marilyn. Dan?
Yeah, thanks for that. I do, in fact, know quite a few people who work on the Natural Capital Project at Stanford. I've, in fact, written articles with some of them, and it is very close to the types of things that I do. What I described here today is what you might call case studies, right? So we're looking at, local resources, very specific things. A lot of what the Natural Capital Project is trying to do is scale these things up, right, and be able to say, what is an entire ecosystem worth in terms of the values that it generates? And I have done some work of that type as well, where we think about how to adjust things like gross domestic product for environmental degradation or increase it to account for environmental services. So their work is very much in line with the type of stuff I do, and I collaborate with some of them.
It's really cool. Wendy in Orfordville, you have a quick comment?
Yes. thank you for all the work that you're doing and appreciate this program very much. I was particularly concerned, though, that the focus is seems to be strictly on the recreational use dollar value as opposed to some of the things that I see around here in Orfordville, which is the contamination of groundwater with nitrates because of the farming, which affects the bodies of water that are recreational use.
Yeah, that's a point. What, Dan, a comment?
Yeah, so, right. What I've been talking about has been surface water focus, just because the studies that, you know, I'm using examples are those. But you're absolutely right. Some of the surface water pollution does come through the hydrological connection with groundwater. And so to the extent that that's one of the sources, you know, we're certainly accounting for that. The bigger deal, I think, though, is contaminated drinking water, especially for private wells that are unregulated. And so there is ongoing separate work kind of looking at how aware people are of groundwater contamination from private wells. You know, what they might be willing to pay to improve the quality of groundwater. So definitely something we're thinking about, but separate from some of the surface water type stuff that is the focus of these studies.
Dan, we're going to have to get you back to talk some more about this. We had many callers we weren't able to get to, but I appreciate your time. And we'll look forward to another visit. Daniel Faneff is an environmental economist and professor of agricultural and applied economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences at UW-Madison. And coming up later, we're going to be talking about a way to get your community certified, a National Wildlife Habitat Certification. So that's going to be fun to look at, too. And here we are in our Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive, Larry Mueller with Keely Baltina. And we'll say it again, as a WPR listener, you know you'll always hear something interesting when you tune in. And thanks to your support, listeners provide the largest source of funding for our show. So thank you very much for your support. And if you haven't given yet, when you give at WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552, you make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Yeah, I echo Larry's appreciation. Thank you so much if you've already given. If not, there's no time like right now to fund the independent journalism and these meaningful conversations that you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio. Jump in right at the beginning of our spring member drive. Make a difference. You choose the amount and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every Wednesday on this program, we cover natural resources, environmental kinds of issues, and certainly the information that we got from Dan today was on water quality, and his research on it was great. And I think it's was interesting to me. I hope it was to you. How's your life enriched by this kind of information? How is it unique to public radio? We're listener-supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you and take a minute or two and make your gift.
Key words there, a minute or two. You can just spend a brief amount of time to make your donation, and you can even make it easier on yourself when you become a sustainer. You select the amount that's right for you. You make that decision, maybe $10 or $20 a month, and then you have it charged from your bank account or your credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift continues year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. It's a powerful way to support the WPR programs that you love. And you know, we talked about the value of water, putting a value on water. We're talking about putting a value on WPR with your gift right now during our spring member drive. Your contribution, it might be $10 or $20 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Yeah, thank you so much for being a part of this. Our drive continues, so now is the time. Jump in, join Joy in Madison, who says, WPR keeps me sharp. We look forward to your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, this is your last day to get the WPR T-shirt.
Yeah, that special price.
At the special price. So once more, go to WPR.org or phone 888 202-2552. Make your contribution, and I'll be back talking about habitat certification right after the news.